Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gaberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. Now, it is possible to go from zero to self-made multimillionaire. We've seen people do it, but I feel like when people start out, that goal can seem very distant from the current situation. However, not only has this goal been accomplished by others, as we've seen many times before, but this episode will focus on the journey of one individual who has accomplished that very goal. Today's guest went from zero to self-made multimillionaire and now teaches people how to become financially free. He is the founder of the Give Back Promise, where some of the richest people in the world pledge to give the majority of their wealth to charity. You can subscribe to today's guest's Finding Freedom newsletter, which comes with five jaw-dropping books filled with actionable advice on achieving your financial freedom. Today's guest for episode 121 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Monty Campbell. Monty, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Mark. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast. And I love hearing stories about people who go from zero to that self-made multi-millionaire, because I feel like it's a situation people face. Like, some of them may be at closer to that zero level, wondering how they can make it. So I'm really looking forward to this episode. It's going to give a lot of great insights into how we can achieve that goal, regardless of where we're starting. But I'd love to get some background first. So why did you set on the path to become a multimillionaire?
Yeah, great question. So I grew up in a very poor part of Louisiana. It was a farming community, Mark, and neither of my parents had graduated high school. Really, poverty was all around us. And to answer your question, what started me on the path was really this idea of, this is going to be my life as well, unless I do something different. And I say where I grew up and how I grew up, not to solicit any sympathy from anyone, but more for context. You started off by saying a lot of people are starting at different places on their journey to wealth. Some are starting to zero at zero. And that's where I started. And if I can do it, if I can start at zero from very humble beginnings, then anyone can. It's not a matter of really where you're starting, but it's a matter of just some philosophies and principles that a person has to have. And once they have them, where you start really doesn't matter.
Now, you use the phrase that you see a lot of successful people use. I use it when I talk about my goals and some of the things I've done at my age. But when someone's at that level, the phrase is, if I did it, you could do it, or something to that effect. Now, obviously, not everyone who is with like a zero income and around a poor, like people who are poor, who it's not particularly an area where you people are consciously developing that mindset. It's not like people are raising you and saying, like, invest, and like you're in that type of a community right away. So what mindset did you have when you were at that level, when you're just in this area that it isn't like you're surrounded by all the millionaires and they're telling you, hey, this is what you do? So what right. mindset did you have to go from that level to being self-made multimillionaire?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer it is, the mindset was disgust. I say to the first step to changing your financial situation, Mark, is to reject it. You get in life what you tolerate. So my mindset was, I'm not going to tolerate this. I kind of got mad, if you will, angry that this is where I'm at. I did not know much of anything. You're exactly right. I did not have people around me. As I mentioned, both of my parents didn't even finish high school. So I didn't have people necessarily teach me bad things, but I didn't have anyone teach me about money. So the first thought was really disgust. And disgust is a powerful motivator. When you get fed up with something, when you go to war with something, in this case, my financial situation, the mind starts working really really efficiently for you. And you start to seek out books and people and opportunities that can help you learn. Now, you also have to have a humble mindset. If you're going to get angry, but you're going to assume that you already know it all, you're probably not going to go far. I knew that there was a lot that I didn't know. I also knew that success leaves tracks. There were a lot of other people that had went before me, and they did something wonderful. They wrote books about what they did. So getting disgusted, knowing that there was a lot of information and books and things like that, seminars that I could go attend, and having that humble attitude where I was going to learn from them. And I say this many times, I didn't invent anything. There is nothing that I invented. I literally connected some dots that were already there. People like Warren Buffett and Jim Rohn and Brian Tracy and Zig Ziglar had already put it out there for everybody. I just connected those dots. I was humble enough to say, I'm going to listen here intently and see if I can connect some of the dots these gentlemen put out there. And that's what I did. And it's, I don't want to say it's easy. Success is simple, but it takes a lot of work. But if you'll follow those time-tested principles, you'll find that they repeat themselves over and over. Almost every book says almost the same thing, Mark, about success. So it's for a reason, because those principles work.
And I definitely agree that these books do, like, they're common patterns. Some of the tactics are really different in Insightful, but it definitely does come back to the same principles. And you mentioned Jim Rohn, and that got me thinking of something that he said, because I've been reading one of his audiobooks, is that he tells the story of a father who's drunk and broke, has a set of twins, and the researchers follow these two twins. One of them ends up being drunk and broke, and they say, well, how'd this happen to you? And the kid said, and the person says, well, my father was the same thing, so what'd you expect from me? But the other one, the other twin, was actually really successful and not at that same level. And those people said, well, what happened to you? And he said that I didn't want to be like that, so I tried to do different things. And I feel like you're the example of that twin who decided to do, like, no, I don't want this to be my life. But there are other people who may be in a situation similar to where you are at, where they're more of a, oh, well, this is my situation. What did you really expect from me? So how do you crack out of that mindset? Like, I don't know if you had that mindset, but you definitely embrace, like, I don't want this to define me. So how are you able to do that? And what's your advice for someone who hasn't done that yet?
Yeah, I think the answer to that question is, if someone has got a mindset of, hey, this is kind of what you expect, that really sounds a lot like a victim mindset, you know, of, hey, I'm a victim of my circumstances. And then those people tend to list off a litany of things that are to blame for why they're not successful. And it's that philosophy that keeps them where they are. You cannot be a victim and a victor. The mind can't simultaneously hold those two thoughts in your mind at the same time. If you are going to shirk responsibility, your mind basically will be convinced that there's no way you can ever then take responsibility for success. So the first person and the most important person you have to convince that you will be successful is you. And if you can't convince you, then it's just not going to happen. So, and I'm not talking about, Mark, being Pollyanna, you know, kind of new age thinking of just sit in a room and think happy thoughts. I mean, you have to be deterministic. You have to have a can-do attitude. You can't be wishy-washy. Everybody wants to be successful. Very few do, because most people just want to be successful, or they're looking for ways to explain why they're not. You have to demand it of yourself. You have to say, I will do this. I may not know how, but I will do it. I will make this happen. This is me. This is my DNA. because pessimism or second-guessing yourself will never pay. I always say that optimism leads to a curious mind, and a curious mind leads to learning, and learning leads to opportunities. And it's just the opposite for the person who will say, I'm just a victim here. What'd you expect? My father wasn't successful. It's going to lead them to pessimism and second-guessing, and they'll never get to where they need to go.
And I mean, it's all about your mindset, definitely. And since you've been able to take the reading seriously and your self-education, you have been able to achieve that level of success and financial freedom. And one of the things before we continue, though, is I'd like to get your take on how you define financial freedom and how we can achieve it, but also the definition in general.
Yeah, I think it differs a little bit for everybody. What I would define it as is having a liquid net worth that allows you to not have to work. And what I mean by that, there is nothing wrong with if you've achieved that status, your liquid net worth will pay your bills and allow you to live the life that you want to live. If you still want to work, that's great. There's no dishonor in working or having a business and continuing to work well past a certain level of wealth. We can look at Warren Buffett. I mean, he's not going to work for the money. He's there every day. He loves it. And there's nothing wrong with it. That's great. But I define it as if you want to go and do some life calling, whether that be to start a charity, to paint, to travel the world, that you've got enough funds in your bank account that provide you income. And that, let me also say, that could be funds coming from real estate investing or funds coming from dividend income from stocks, whatever it is that's providing you a means of income that allow you to go do what you want to do. That's what it means to me.
And it's interesting that you provide that definition, being able to make passive income and not have to work if you don't want to. Obviously, that being in that position does allow you to pursue more of the work that you love, as you've been able to do, teaching people how to achieve their financial freedom. But when it comes to financial freedom and being busy and having a business and doing all these different things, we could have the goal of being financially free, but in some cases we're setting goals that do help us, but we're not actually taking the actions that are going to lead us towards financial freedom. Like, we're so stuck on the short term, for instance, that we don't look at the long term and think about achieving that level of financial freedom. So how do you suggest that we apply more of our time towards activities that will specifically help us achieve that financial freedom?
Yeah. Well, let me say it this way. Everybody has something they're put on this earth to do. Now, some people that aligns with their job or the business that they own, and that's wonderful. I would guess that the majority, that's not the case, Mark. They have something that is in their DNA that they are put on this earth to do, but they can't do it because of a job or maybe even because of a business they own. So to put financial freedom into perspective, to make sure you're taking the steps, I think starts with a question back to yourself of what is it? What is it that I was put on this earth to do? I'll give you an anecdotal example. Bill Gates, I don't think, was put on this earth to run Microsoft. He was put on this earth to run his foundation with his wife, to go out and tackle some of the largest health issues out there. That is what brings him alive. Microsoft gave him the financial means to go do that, to go do his life calling. So the first step would be to have a question with and a conversation with yourself of what is my life calling? What is it that I'm really supposed to be doing? The thing that's going to bring me the most joy. And number two, ask yourself, what are the things that I'm doing that are moving me towards that? Because you can own a successful business and have a lot of admiration and things and so on, but it may not be moving you towards that. You may be spending most of your money that you're making, and you'll never get there. You will have a great successful business and a lot of people will admire it, but you will not feel fulfilled and satisfied until you are doing that thing. So find out what it is. Look at what you're doing with your finances to see, are you making positive progress to that? And if not, start making changes that will allow you to become financially free. Because I say it this way, financial freedom is not necessarily the goal. The goal is to become financially free to allow you to do what it is that is your goal. Does that make sense?
Yes. It's like financial freedom is a means to an end.
It's a means to an end. Absolutely. I don't think there's any redeeming value for just sitting on a beach somewhere and drinking nice drinks and and just doing that. In fact, I don't think most people that achieve financial freedom want that anyway. I think they just want their time back.
Yes. I mean, a lot of pictures depicting financial freedom do picture that person sitting on the beach. And while I could see financial free people doing that, like on occasion, that's definitely not the whole lifestyle. Like one snapshot of like 2 hours is definitely not that entire lifestyle or like the whole reason to be financially free. And I mean, it's definitely all about the actions that we put in. And if we are able to put those actions in that lead us close to our goal, then eventually we will reach it. But when it comes to specifically applying those actions and achieving our goals, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
From their full potential as it relates to just financial freedom or just their full potential altogether in general?
Can we do both financial freedom and in general?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do financial freedom first.
Okay.
So what holds people back generally from becoming financially free is that they don't follow the simple formula of financial freedom. And that is take a portion of your income, turn it into investment capital, and let the wealth that you build from that investment capital is what will turn you or make you free. Jim Rohn said, you'll work in a job, you'll make a living. You work on yourself or you invest in yourself and your net worth, you'll make a fortune. And so, Mark, it's a very well-known fact that whatever income we make, we're going to grow into. It doesn't matter if it's a little or a lot. It doesn't matter if it comes from a business you're an employee, you're going to grow into it. And so what keeps most people from reaching their potential that want to be financially free is that they don't follow that principle. They spend what they make and they put it off to later. And they don't peel off a portion of that their income and invest it. That's where the juice is. You're not going to get rich from your job. You're most likely not going to get rich from a business. There's stories out there where you can. You'll get rich where you take what you're making and peel off a portion of it and invest it in real estate or stocks or buying more businesses, and that's how you'll get rich. So what holds people back from becoming the most they can be just in life? I think it goes back to what we were saying earlier. About the most important person you've got to convince is you. I think a lot of people are going around with the notion that wealth and success is just not, they're not capable of it. It doesn't occur to them. This is what I'm meaning. It doesn't occur to them that, yes, you, that school teacher can be successful. I say it this way, my friend, that you see on the news often about ordinary people doing extraordinary things and that gets our attention. And I love reading those stories. But I tell you what I see most often is not that. What I see most often is extraordinary people just doing ordinary things. So I think what holds most people back is the idea that it's not them, that they weren't selected, that they weren't one of the chosen ones that can be extraordinary. And what I would tell your listeners are, you are extraordinary. Then the seeds of greatness are in everyone, right? That's a very common phrase. The seeds of greatness are in everyone. What's holding you back is you, is what I would tell the listener, is that you are capable of success. Plenty of people have done it. Plenty of school teachers, plenty of plumbers, plenty of people coming from small, poor towns in all across America are doing it. Believe that you can. Find that way to do it. Find people that have done it. Listen to them. Read books and so on. But don't be your worst enemy and stop yourself from the beginning. Believe that you can do it, and you will fulfill everything you're capable of.
Monty, thank you for sharing that really great advice on unlocking your potential. I mean, financial point, you do have to peel a little bit, put it into the investing, because that's how your income grows. I mean, you make all the income, but sitting in the bank, it's not going to get that same type of ROI as if you invest it into some area like real estate or stocks. And just really believing in yourself. I mean, it's something that we say over and over again. It's like, believe in yourself, but we have to get better at truly making those words stick in our lives when the going gets tough or when we're pursuing something new, to truly believe in ourselves. I mean, I know it's cliche, but we do have to grasp the meaning of those words and not let the idea of it's a cliche take away from the potency of that message.
I couldn't have said it better, Mark. I couldn't have, because there will be days of tough sledding. There are going to be days, of the secret to success of becoming successful without any work and is still a secret. There are tough days, and your determinism that you will do this, that you will become successful, is what will pull you through it. Has nothing to do with where you start, who your parents were or weren't, where you came from, your gender, nothing. It has to do with your philosophy in life. And Jim Rohn talked about that all the time. You know, he used to say, show him a person that has a philosophy of success, and he was going to show you someone that was going to become successful. It's your mind, it's your attitude.
And we've mentioned Jim Rohn and other authors a few times. You've hinted several times that you've read a lot of books, and that's attributed to a big part of your success. And I could definitely say that about myself as well. I feel like a lot of people can say the way they self-educate themselves would attribute to their success. But with that in mind, Monty, I know this may be a tough question since you've read so many books, but what are three great book recommendations you could think of that would have a big impact on us?
Yeah, it's really the classics. And the reason I'll list them in a second, but the reason the classics are so good is because it's not just they have good ideas in them. They have good ideas that have stood the test of time. You can go read books like, and I'm probably going to give you more than three, Mark, if that's okay.
Yeah, definitely.
You can read books like The Magic of Thinking Big, The Power of Positive Thinking, Think and Grow Rich. These books were written many years ago, and some of them, you know, like 100 years ago. And some of the examples are a little antiquated, but the ideas are the same. And that's why I said at the beginning of the show here that as you read them, you'll find, well, wow, they're saying a lot of the same things. That's because they all found the same principles. And you don't need new principles. There are a lot of great new books out there. But those books were instrumental in and changing my life of getting into my head about what it is to have that deterministic mind, to think bigger than where my current situation was at, to think optimistically. And I say this a lot, and I hope this will resonate with your listeners, is that I know some people like to read, some don't, so on, but you will find that most successful people love to read, or they learn to love to read.
Yes.
And I will say this too, is that when we read, we should read something with the idea of how can this transform me? Those books that I'm talking about, and I know your listeners have heard of other books, but those classic books, you should, before you open them, you should say, how can this transform me? You know, there's a great quote out there. I'm not going to get it all right, but it's about the author saying of the quote saying, books should be that axe that is like an axe to the frozen sea in our minds. We should read them not as, well, that's nice. Think, you know, the magic of thinking big, that was nice. You've missed the point. When you get through reading The Magic of Thinking Big, it should be an emotion of, oh my gosh, I am enlightened. I've just been transformed. I'm going to go run and do some of these things. So regardless of what books you read, it should be that kind of attitude reading them. But those are some of the classics out there. Let me throw a bonus out there that probably some people may have heard of and haven't heard of, but I do mention this to folks, and that's a book called Psycho-Cybernetics. That book was written a long time ago as well. It's an interesting book that talks about kind of he calls it the tapes or the stories in our minds that maybe were put in there by our environment, by our parents, that aren't serving as well, and how to replace those with new tapes, new ideas. And real quickly, the idea, or that book came to my attention from an interview I was watching of Jim Brown. I don't know if you remember Jim Brown, but very famous running back, NFL, and, you know, held many records for touchdowns, and he was almost unstoppable. People had a hard time tackling him. And so this interviewer asked him, well, Jim, what led to your success there? What made it hard to tackle you? He said, well, it used to be easy to tackle me. And then I read Psycho-Cybernetics and realized that I just needed to change the tape in my mind to, it's going to be really hard to tackle me. And he said, once I did that, it was really hard to tackle me.
Wow.
So when I saw that interview, I said, I got to go get that book.
Monty, I mean, I do agree the classics, they do hold like key tips and advice that have definitely passed the age of time. And a lot of new books, they do have like, they have new tactics and principles in there, but a lot of it is also based on some of those classics. And all those books Monty mentioned will be over at the show notes page, markaberti.com/E121. And before we wrap up this episode, Monty, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Yeah, it's this. Why not me? Why not? We were just talking about books. Another great one is The Richest Man in Babylon. And in that book, it's a fictional book, but it's about a couple of guys that went to high school and they meet up later in life and they're struggling financially. But they see one of their former classmates has done really well. And he had the same beginnings, Mark. He had the same beginnings of life, and he didn't have any leg up, thing that gave him an advantage over his two classmates, but he had done well financially. And the pivotal moment in that book and for those two fictional characters was when they said, why not us? why him and why not us? And I don't mean jealousy and envy. I mean, if he can do it, why not me? Jim Rohn used to say this all the time. Why not you? Why wouldn't you have a wonderful financial plan that will deliver you to wealth? Why not you? Why wouldn't you have goals that will take you where you want to be? So that one question would be, why not me? Why not me? If you're not where you're at today, ask, why not me? The answer is, it is you. It can be you, and it should be you.
Monty, thank you for sharing with us that great question. We should definitely continue to ask ourselves, why not me? Because that one question could minimize all of the obstacles that we face because we realize, hey, it can be us. So Monty, I'm very appreciative of you sharing that question, all of your great insights throughout our time together. And Breakthrough Success listeners, if you want to learn more about Monty, get some tips about how you too can become a self-made multimillionaire and some advice for building wealth in the process, head over to montycampbell.com. That will also be in the show notes, markaburi.com/E121. But head over to Monty's site to learn how you can build your own wealth today. Monty, I cannot thank you enough for being a guest on the show. Thank you for sharing your incredible insights with us today.
Thank you, Mark. It's been my pleasure.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgaburdy.com/retweet.